I actually never wanted to write this book. It was not in my scope of anything I wanted to do. I literally had a dream and I had the entire book. Just, I woke up with it. Trauma is when you are experiencing something or you're watching something that is too much that your brain actually responds, just like a head injury. Something freezes in your brain and it's so awful that you cannot comprehend what's happening. Definitely not everything is trauma.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hey there, and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. You know, today we're going to be talking all about mental and emotional health. That's right. I've got Elena Huggins with me today. She is the author of Untwist Me, and she is a passionate communicator who desires to inspire, challenge, and empower her audience to make the changes they need to live better lives. She is a lover of Jesus, she's a musician, and she's an entrepreneur. Over the last 18 years, Elena has spoken across a variety of stages to different audiences using a straightforward approach, shares about unapologetic challenges, and shares about biblical truths unapologetically. She is devoted to the gospel and seeing God's people strengthened, freed, and more in love with Jesus than ever before. She has had much experience in the area of mental and emotional health herself with her own journey to overcoming trauma, PTSD, anxiety, and depression. And her experience includes working with trafficked victims, working at the Rape Crisis Center, endless one-on-one coaching sessions, and also pastoral care. She resides in the mountains of North Carolina with her two beautiful daughters. And so this is going to be a great show. She has a book called, like I mentioned, Untwist Me, which is a great title. I love it. And it's really coming forth, or at least she's coming on this podcast in such a time that, wow, with everything going on in the world, it's just timely to have her on. And also, you know, one in every five adults in the U.S. are really facing mental health challenges. And so we're going to explore not just the stats on that, but really hear stories behind those stats, including Elena's and also people that she's worked with. And we're going to unpack a few just practical strategies that will hopefully offer you hope. And maybe it's not you that's dealing with some mental health challenges. Maybe it's someone that you know, but that hope can be found within faith and community. And so again, whether you're on your own journey of healing or somebody else you know that needs this support, this is going to be an episode that should not be missed. So I'm so glad that you're here, and let's get started. Well, welcome Elena Huggins to the Visibly Fit Podcast. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Wendy. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, I am really excited about your book, Untwist Me. What a cool title, first of all. And it's Uncomplicated Life Hacks for Mental and Emotional Liberation. And so I think a lot of people listening are like, sign me up. Let me get my hands on this book. Because we all have or have been through some sort of form or fashion of trauma or drama, right, in our lives. And so it's important that we get through those and overcome them. But let's talk about why you were commissioned, if you will, by the Lord to write this book, and maybe a little bit about who you are and your story first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually never wanted to write this book. It was not in my scope of anything I wanted to do. As much as I've had a lot of background in the mental and emotional health space, but I never wanted to be as involved. But I think what happened with me is I just kept coming across people who were stuck and who felt really overwhelmed by the whole space. And, you know, our world complicates everything so much. And so it was almost like, to be honest, 18 years in the making, this book. And I was in a fast, and this is like a spiritual kind of thing, but I literally had a dream and I had the entire book. Just, I woke up with it and I even woke up.
Like I said, you were commissioned by the Lord, girl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's because I desperately didn't want to write it. So he, of course, commissioned me. And it took me a couple months to finally put pen to paper because I knew in writing it, I'd have to share my story of, you know, mental and emotional liberation. It was just things I didn't want to do, but
vulnerability.
As I got to it, as I started, you know, writing it, I wrote it fairly quickly, but I just realized it's definitely a book for right now, for this season that we're in.
Well, it so is. So before we go into that, because especially with all that's gone on in the last couple of weeks with Charlie Kirk's assassin and so many things that have gone on recently, we can see in just an escalated, obvious, you know, outpouring of people that are needing help, right? And they've got mental health issues, and it's just really sad to see. But I want to go back to your story first, because we actually do want to hear a little snippet, if you're cool with that, because that honestly gives you credibility. You've been through it. You've overcome, and people need to hear that hope, and they just need to hear that hope right now.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in like a reform Russian Orthodox Christian world, you know. So though I encountered God when I was 18, and it was like a radical moment. Like I literally read the Bible for like the first time in my life. I read about Jesus, nothing like I thought growing up, because God was very distant, like, you know, send you to hell. I'm like, well, you know, just go ahead and do it. I'm never gonna, you know, have enough penance or repentance to get there. And I read about Jesus, and I was so floored by this Jesus who, you know, was with all these different people, who was rebellious and brilliant. And at that moment, I remember accepting Christ and saying, if this is you, I want this. That was my sinner's prayer. I didn't have a grid for that. And then at that moment, I like literally thought somebody was in the room, but I knew I was never going to be the same. And so in my journey, I found myself always working with people who struggled with mental and emotional issues. I mean, when I, as a child, had, you know, a lot of SA, which is sexual abuse. So I had many, many encounters from the age of 4 to 16. And that, of course, left its mark on my life. And I would find myself, then I was working with trafficked kids and then doing pastoral care. And then I worked at the Rape Crisis Center. And then I found myself, I went to Bible college in Australia, came back, met my husband at church. We served, we were in the worship band, came from a wonderful family. We dated for 2 years, got married. I would find out later, 3 days before I gave birth to our first daughter, that he had this full-blown hidden pill addiction. And when I found that out, all of a sudden, all the pieces.
What kind of addiction? I'm sorry, it went out.
Pills.
Pill addiction.
Yeah.
Pills. Drugs.
Yeah. Gotcha. And it had gotten pharmaceutical. And at that time, it wasn't something that people talked about. People didn't really know about that sort of addiction. It was medication, right? And so I had no idea about it. I didn't know that that was a thing, first of all. And I didn't know that that was his thing. At this point, he was shooting up and doing all kinds of things. And I found out 3 days before I gave birth to our first daughter. And I just was so stunned by it. But his behavior started making sense. Because I had no grid for addiction, I felt like I was like imagining things. And in that process of, and he would, of course, do what many people did. He would recover and relapse. And we would do that cycle. And we did that cycle for many years. And eventually he chose his addiction over our family. And we had 2 daughters at that point. And, you know, I found myself in a position I never thought I'd be in as a single mom. I married this guy, I met him at church. I was angry with God because I had given up so much to follow Jesus. Like when I followed Jesus, it was a problem at the church I grew up in. I was told that I was displeasing God, but I was so radically changed.
Because you weren't following the religious protocol?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because I was evangelizing, and that was a no-no. Like you can't do it that way. And I was ostracized. It was like a massive thing, but I was so radically changed by God. And I went to Bible college and I had done all the right things post, you know, getting saved, met my husband at church. And here I was with, and then as you know, in any, like when you're in a survival place, you don't even really know the damage that's been done. And it really hit me about a year after I got a divorce, just all of the trauma from being in that relationship. There was like a lot of gaslighting. There was a lot of sociopathic type things, and all of that came to a head. And I just found myself wanting to die. I begged for death. I almost took my life. I mean, I was raging at God of like, how could you allow me? I followed you. You know, I had a really, like, my theology was not the correct theology. So I couldn't understand a lot of different things. And so then, you know, fast forward, I decided to harden my heart against God. And I decided, you know, you can't help me. I trusted you and look what you did. So my heart was hardened. I embraced the diagnoses that I had because I had severe PTSD. I had trauma, anxiety, panic attacks all the time, depression. I mean, I didn't sleep for 10 months total. Like, I would sleep maybe 3 hours at a time and be woken up from a nightmare drenched in sweat. And I was raising two small children with no support from their father whatsoever. Started a business and was working two jobs. So it was a crazy period in my life. And
you had massive stress.
Massive.
On top of undealt with trauma from even before the marriage, probably, right?
Correct.
The essay.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so here I was in this spiral, decided to push God to the side. And then I pursued healing because I came to a point where I almost felt like, because my mental, emotional background, I started having like split personality things where I started feeling my brain just breaking apart in different ways. And I felt like I am crazy and I'm capable of anything. And it freaked me out. And so I was like, I have to get well. And so I started, you know, I did the therapy thing for many years. I decided to seek gurus. I did new age practices. I practiced mindfulness and manifesting and did all these other things. And honestly,
obviously that was all before you gave your life to Jesus.
I was a Christian. And
And you were still seeking the other because you were desperate for the healing, right?
I was desperate for the healing, but I had hardened my heart towards the Lord.
To Jesus, right, which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So you're seeking things.
My mindset was, you allowed this, and so I cannot trust you anymore. And I think anybody who's had deep disappointments or injustice, what often happens is we embrace our disappointment and we harden ourselves towards Jesus. But if we only embrace Jesus and harden our heart to the disappointment, we wouldn't suffer.
Amen. So and he is the healer. And the more you were seeking and searching, you had everything you needed right there in Jesus, but because your heart was hard. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that space, the more I pushed God away, the deeper I got in my pit. And I did all these practices and I became well. If you were to look at me, you would think I was well, but I was not free. And I always felt like I was controlling my mental and emotional state, just keeping it from, you know, getting out of hand. And then, long story short, I eventually got to a place of desperation. I fasted and prayed for 21 days. And on the last day of my fast, I remember just desperately crying out to God. Like, I was worshiping him. I had humbled my heart and chose to, like, because I remember what it felt like when I first found him and the freedom I felt. And I was like, I know you did it for me then. I want you to do it again. And I feel too buried in this pit. I don't know how to climb out of it. And I've tried all the things and I sought the gurus and did all these things. And so I came to that place. And honestly, like, the presence of the Lord filled my living room. Like, it was tangible. It was weighty. It was thick. And I just felt like this heaviness was just coming off of me. And it was so supernatural in that moment. I knew I was free. Like, I knew I wouldn't have to control this anymore. And then from that point, to be free, to continue to be free, it changed everything. I started reading the scripture daily. I'd never understood spending time with God privately. The Bible says, go to your
secret place,
close the door. Yeah. I started reading scripture all the time, spending time in prayer and sort of renewing my mind. Got involved in church again. Just completely did a 180 from everything I had done, walked away from sin and changed my mind. It did all the things. And so that was kind of my recovery journey. And so what this book came to be was my own experience. And then all of the experiences that I had helping other people and really just observing, like the ones who were healthy and whole and the ones who were still stuck, what was the difference? And that's kind of how the book was born and written.
And the difference is surrender a lot of times and forgiveness, right? And as you're sharing your story, I mean, I got a little teary-eyed thinking about it because I've been there. Like, I feel like you're sharing a lot of people's story on some level. And the power of when the Holy Spirit, when you finally surrender and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and you receive Jesus. And you're right. You're like a whole different person. I mean, I had someone say to me the other day, and then we'll get back to this, but they were somewhere with a bunch of people. They were having quote unquote fun of what my old self would have called fun. And they even said, you know, your old self would have really enjoyed this and had a blast, but the new you wouldn't like it at all. I'm thinking, oh yeah, the new me that's in Christ. I mean, I've been this way for, you know, 20 years, but still, it was just fascinating to hear that, right? Like people know. And whenever you have that complete flip of the script, you have to change things, including friends and things that you do. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because that's part of the healing process of having the healthy boundaries and staying on point with what God has for your life instead of allowing our flesh to lead. So let's talk a little bit about that for you and maybe some of those that you have assisted along the way and how that looked.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things with that. I think the first is we love to separate everything. We love to separate our mind, our body, our soul, our spirit, and we're not wired like that. So if you look at culture, it's like if you have a physical problem, we're going to just treat the physical thing. We don't look at your lifestyle. We don't look at your emotional state. We don't look at anything. We do the same in the therapy world. We do the same in, you know, the physical world. We tend to separate, and God never designed it like that. He wants to heal us holistically. And what I found in this journey is like, there's a few key things. Like the first is you have to be willing to be humble and be honest. I think sometimes we tell ourselves stories that we want to be true, and we're so afraid to tap into the painful areas, but you have to go there. You have to get honest about the places. You have to confront why you do what you do and stop excusing those things. And that was very true for me. And I started realizing like I had to, there was tangible things, and we can definitely, you know, get into that. But with, as far as like changing, honestly, I had tried for years to change. I was obsessive with it when I was in the New Age arena. I was obsessed. 8 hours a day, listening, practicing, control, mindfulness, meditate, all of the things that when I came to Jesus, I actually just started reading scripture a lot. Yep. I didn't believe it when I read it. I didn't even want to read it. Okay. I was like, oh, this sounds beautiful.
That's honest. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, but I made myself read. And what I found was with time, the default of reading scripture, my behavior changed. I didn't have to change my behavior. I just spent time with Jesus.
Wanted to. Yeah.
You know, it was like I just started seeing different, my mindset started changing, just all of that by just reading scripture. And I love the way Jesus does it, because he's like, you don't have to figure everything out. Come to me. Come to me. And this was the same as
that's
I recovered.
Simple.
Yeah. And even in my recovery, it was like sometimes we go to all these sources. And then we go to Jesus.
Bit of the source.
Right. But even like, and I'm a huge believer of therapy, and I think there's so many things that can help you and do all that. But if we just went to Jesus first, and instead of quickly, like I'm a mover, I like to get things done. Like I want to fix it. And God had to really like teach me to like, hold on, seek me first. And then if we were to do that, and the more I did that, he would lead me in the right path. because sometimes we're too quick to make a decision and it could be the wrong one that could actually prolong our sickness, that could prolong our difficulty. But it's like, if you seek him first, sometimes, like with me, he can do some things in a supernatural moment. Sometimes he'll lead you to the right person or the right counselor. Sometimes it would be a scripture you read or a friend that you confide in or something you watch. Like, he has a way of leading us out of the most complicated things if we just choose to seek him first and wait. If you don't know what to do, just wait until you know what to do. Otherwise, you can set yourself up for a much more difficult journey that he doesn't want for you.
Right. Wait and hear and then obey and act upon it, right?
Yeah, right.
So what would you say to someone? Because, you know, I have a lot of patients that have been through tons of trauma. And that's one of the reasons they're in the health condition that they're in, right? Because our body is always listening. And so if you're in this traumatic state all the time, even with, you know, resentment, bitterness, anger, that kind of thing, our cells are listening and they respond accordingly. And so a lot of people just want to, like you said, compartmentalize and go right after the physical part and say, okay, I'm just going to exercise more and eat right. But yet that's part of the equation, but you're not going to be fully healed until you get all of yourself on board. And that's mind, body, spirit, emotions. But what would you say to somebody who really is in that stuck place and they're almost even in denial? Like they, because a lot of my patients too have, some of them are in their 60s and even early 70s, and they have been carrying trauma since they were little girls. And so what would you say to someone who is really stuck and doesn't really want to go there because of maybe the pain that they think it'll bring up? And can I guess explain why it's so important for this breakthrough to happen so that they're not carrying this out for the rest of their days, and how it creates a ripple effect with their children and their grandchildren and kinds of things if they don't acknowledge and take care of it?
Yeah, I can completely relate to that. Like I didn't want to deal with it. I knew the pain. And the reality with trauma is it doesn't go away. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, if you're the richest person on the earth, it doesn't matter who you are. Trauma will never go away. And you see it come up in people's life. You see ministers fall. And if you peel back the layers of their issue, it's usually trauma that causes behavior. And the sad reality is you bring other people with you. And the thing is, the reality is trauma will never go away until you deal with it. And I'm just going to be honest. What we don't tell people enough, what I wish more people told me, is you're going to hate it. It's going to suck.
You're not going to want to do it.
You're going to feel like you want to die. You want to scream. You're going to rage. But you will live.
Not only live, but you're going to have freedom and you're going to really live, you know?
When someone's so afraid, they can't even get past to the freedom part. And so what I have often told people is like when they would come to a therapist, they're like, okay, I want essentially to be free. I don't want to have this issue and this struggle. But the reality is if you don't go there, you will never have what you want. So you must go there.
I was just thinking about Isaiah 41:10. Such a great verse, right? For people that, so do not fear, because I think a lot of it's rooted in fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so that's a great reminder of truth. And whether or not someone's wanting to even hear that in that moment is up to them. But that is a truth that gives hope.
I mean, and the truth is when anytime you are wanting to get better or overcome, there's going to be a wilderness and a wrestle. And we don't talk enough about wilderness and wrestle. And the wilderness, like when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They almost looked at it with pink colored glasses. They were like, well, we had food in Egypt. We had this in Egypt. And they even tried to appoint someone else to take Moses's place. It's the same
pain in their comfort or comfort in their pain. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is that like wanting to go back. There is that, you know, wilderness period where you feel lost. You don't, because you're going from who you used to be to who you're trying to be. And there's always this period of feeling lost. And that's normal. It's the same with wrestling. Like Jacob wrestled with God and his hip was out of socket as a result. You know, you may have like the effects of that wrestle, but you have to wrestle it out from, he said, God, I'm not going to leave until you bless me. So it's like, there is a point in every person. It doesn't matter how long you've been in therapy, but there is a point where you have to, it's just you and God, and you have to wrestle it out. And there is good. That wilderness period that there is no way to the other side except through, like, though I walk through the valley, not around the valley, not medicated through, not pretending it's not there. Like, there is not another option. It's like A plus B equals C. And that's how trauma is. And it's like, I would just encourage anybody who's afraid. It's okay to be afraid. I hated it. I didn't want to go through it. I avoided even therapy for like a year and a half because I had gone through therapy before. I knew what I didn't want to unpack, but there comes a point. And I would say also, just on the side note, I do believe that there are seasons where the Holy Spirit brings stuff up, and that's when you need to deal with them. I don't believe in digging for traumas, because sometimes therapists do that, and it's like, you're not ready yet to heal. But when
that's why there's a difference between a counselor and a biblical counselor, right?
Yeah. And it's like, if something is coming up, or you find yourself reacting all the time, or you keep having a memory, it's God telling you it's time. Let's go there. Come on, it's time. And I just would encourage you, it's okay to feel afraid and know you're going to hate it for a while. Know you're going to not want to do it. You're going to rage and scream and cry. I probably said a lot of 4-letter words to God in that season, and I felt like lost, and I didn't know who I was anymore. And, you know, and all of those things are okay, but just do it. You must do it, and you will be
because no one can do it for you.
No one can do it for you, but you're going to be so glad you did it. You're going to come out, and there's something beautiful that comes out of wilderness that will never come out any other way. Your relationship with God changes in wilderness. What you do in wilderness, it will forever change you in the best way. But don't be afraid to hate it, because it's going to happen.
So good. Yeah, just go there. And that promised land is waiting. And it's not just even your a new relationship with the Lord, but it's new relationships with the people around you. Like, you see them differently. You have different eyes for compassion. You just have a different way of communicating and receiving and giving. It's just a beautiful communication and dance. And I think that's part of it. So let's talk a little bit about trauma, because trauma can be like over-exaggerated on some level these days. And yet we don't want to dismiss trauma, but it seems like everything's trauma. Oh my gosh, I was so traumatized on this and so much, you know, and I get it. Like, sometimes people are just saying that, but man, words are powerful. So let's talk about really what trauma really is as definition, and why society is wanting to take on and thinking it's cool to have traumas and dramas.
Yeah. So trauma is when you are experiencing something or you're watching something that is too much that your brain actually responds, just like a head injury. Something freezes in your brain and it's so awful that you cannot comprehend what's happening, cannot process what's happening. So that's what trauma is. It's not, I had a bad day. It's not this or not that. I know. And I agree with you. I remember people feeling like, well, you know, they would make everything trauma. Like, they, and the problem is when we do that, we take, like, for example, people be like, oh, well, he flirted with me or he whistled at me. Oh, that was so traumatic. But what we do is we diminish people who actually went through trauma when we make everything trauma. There actually is a physical response to what's happening. And that's how you are traumatized. And when you are traumatized, something locks up. A lot of people develop what they call arrested development, where they cannot move past the age that they were traumatized, where in certain ways they're stunted and they're not fully functioning adults because of that trauma. And so definitely not everything is trauma, you know, but there is definitely moments that something changes in you, something locks up in you, and it's something that is always kind of holding you back. And then that weight becomes heavier and heavier as you get older.
Yeah. And as you were mentioning that, and my part two of that question was, why are so many people saying that they are traumatized? And I held up my phone because I do believe that social media has been very impactful in the trauma, if you will, because they are seeing things that really we shouldn't be seeing.
Yeah.
You know, that is traumatizing. So, I mean, I don't know what your take is on that, but if you want to expound on that.
I would agree that that's definitely a portion, but I also think the society we're raising the next generation in is really troublesome. It is not normal for children to be in therapy. It is not normal for young kids to feel suicidal, and we've normalized it. And it's a sad reality whenever we have so much therapy in the world, but yet we are the most sick. And the reasons for that is we're very isolated. We have a very singular, I can do it myself mentality. We were never meant to be in that. And we also, the way that we raise our children in this culture is we either emotionally neglect them because we're too busy to focus because we have work, we have all these responsibilities and we neglect them, or we often try to bubble wrap them to protect them. And we don't, and the problem with that is if you don't allow difficulty in your child's life, then is it a wonder as they get into adolescence, they can't handle anything? When they're adults, they can't handle discord or debate or something not going their way. And all of a sudden, it's a traumatic emotional thing because we have created a world that we're bubble wrapping them and releasing them into a harsh world. Yeah. And so what I would encourage is don't make it easy on your kids. Don't make it easier for your kids than the world you're releasing them into. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge believer in that and sitting and talking through things. Like I have always, you know, the way I raise my kids is like, I don't tell them what to think. I teach them how to think. Okay. So you have this feeling. Let's talk through that. Why do you feel that way? Why do you believe that way? Because I want them to start
critical thinking. Yeah.
Critical thinking. And I don't want to take the difficulty from them because they're going to have a whole lot more than that. And I think often we blow things up instead of being like, well, you know, this is just a part of life. Let's move through it. Let's learn to move through things quicker than trying to figure everything out. Because in my parents' generation, they just had to do it. You know, it was hard. It was bad. We just moved through it. And there was a lot, you know, less issues. It doesn't mean that you don't talk about things you do. This is why isolation is not a good idea. It was never God's idea. You talk through, you have family dinner, you have people in your life where you can hash out problems. But we got to teach people to not get hung up on every little thing. So this big situation, is it going to matter in 5 minutes? Is it going to matter in 5 hours? Why are we giving 5 seconds to it? You know, learning to, you know, really make a big deal of what's a big deal and just not letting yourself get hung up on the small stuff.
Yeah. How to process through. I think that's great. And I would venture out to say that, you know, keeping our kids kind of in a bubble kind of space is really a form of abuse. Not only would that emotional neglect be a form of abuse, but the opposite to be true as well. And I don't know if I've ever thought of that until right now, but I can see, you're not preparing your children for the reality of what's to come. And so then the outcome is traumatic experiences or processing or unprocessing, should I say. In the real world. So that's good. Well, let's talk a little bit about just relationships on a whole. And maybe you have some helpful tips because, you know, I don't know. I mean, every generation is different. But the cancel culture, the this or that, like we just need to all be able to have dialogue, like you said, healthy conversations, and that's how we process and get through, especially women. My goodness, we got to have a tribe of sisters to get through stuff sometimes. Guys don't always talk things out like maybe they could and should, but they need a band of brothers as well. So when it comes to relationships, do you have healthy tips on how to maneuver and get untwisted? You know, untwist me in this stinking thinking, so to speak, and allow me to have a conversation with my mom or my sister or whatever, so that it's a good dialogue and it's healthy and you still love one another and respect one another.
Yeah, I do think the healthier you are, the healthier your relationships will be. You can't give what you yourself do not have. So often, and we have this oversaturated space of coaches and this and that are so broken. We have so many therapists that became therapists because they're trying to sort through their stuff. I would just encourage us, don't be those people. Work on your stuff. And we're only in control of what we can control. And so it's like, if you kind of step into your relationships with that mindset, then like, I would say like for friendship or for any, are you the person that you would want to have? Like if you're married, are you the wife or the spouse that you would love to have? Are you a safe space for your spouse? I don't understand why people continuously do things and say things that wound the other person, because every time we wound another person, we actually wound ourselves. When that person is thriving and healthy and our children are thriving and healthy, by default, we thrive.
Yes.
And it's like, and I would say like with the family, like this is so important. If you invest in your family, you will always reap. Your job can't love you back. Your career can't love you back. Your whatever hobbies you have that you give so much time to, those things will never love you back. But pour that into your kids, it's going to change the game. Pour that into your spouse, it's going to change everything. And if we understood, like if we put family on a higher place, sometimes we got to make sacrifices for that. There's so many people, both people work, we have adapted, and I don't, this may step on toes, but adapted this idea, like especially as women, that I go to work at my career and I pay someone else to care for the children that I have. And it's not good for us and it's not good for our children. I mean, studies prove all this. And it's like, if we would just put our family at a higher place value and see what can we simplify in our lives so that we can be together more. Because when we're together, we thrive. Anybody in relationships can say, when you finally go out, you're like, oh, we should do this more often. You're connecting. When you're with your kids, you start loving your children. When you never have time with them, they're a nuisance to you. They're exhausting. They're acting out. And most of the time, just like us, our children, when they don't have attention, when they're not understood, they act out. You know, whenever we give them attention or we get attention, we respond better. Our children are
giving you signals. So respond to the signal
it's like,
you know, be the solution. Yeah. So it's God, family, career, where I think so often these days people have it more like career, maybe family, maybe God. And that, you know what I mean? It's just so topsy turvy. And that's really why there's just been a breakdown of society and because of the breakdown of the family unit. Right. And so if we realize that, wow, God, family, and if we make the family whole and we're healthy as individuals, and then we raise up the kids, man, there's going to be less traumas, and there's going to be less emotional stuff to deal with. I mean, everyone, you know, we're all individual people, and we're going to rub each other the wrong way at times, but you work through it, and the love conquers all, right? And so I just love that you wrote a book to share your story and that you're vulnerable, because I know that that's really tough. But man, your story is going to help somebody else in that same space heal from theirs or have the courage to heal from theirs. And so I just want to say thank you for having the courage to write it on paper and get it out there and to be on podcasts like mine and other podcasts that you've been on to share your heart and your experience and really to keep, you know, pressing in that it's God, family, career. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have anything that you'd like to share that might be beneficial as far as some steps you have in the book that maybe we have, you know, we haven't discussed too many of them right now, but some helpful takeaway tips that someone's like, yeah, you know, I could apply that today. I could look at myself in the mirror right here today and say, I am statements or, you know, whatever it is, scripture, whatever kind of things that you may have that would be helpful to implement.
Well, I have so many because the the book is filled with hacks. So how I wrote it is I kind of started a baseline and then I went into specific issues. And then I tie in like obviously experience with medical and scientific research and a ton of Bible. So I definitely have a lot of hacks. But if I could say just one, I would just say, keep it simple. Anytime we complicate something, we feel like we have no power over it. We feel like we can't do anything about it. And it becomes overwhelming very quickly. So when you complicate scripture, like Jesus was simple. He was deep, profound, but very simple. So when somebody starts complicating the gospel, there's usually a problem in that, you know, religious space. There's usually issues.
For sure.
There. simplify your relationship, boil it down to the baseline. Like, what's really the problem here? It's not the towels. It's because of this past issue and it's bringing this up, or it's because I'm frustrated about this, or you're not communicating. If it's a mental issue, you know, in that world, it's so complicated. So what I've done in this book, and I've stripped everything down to the bare minimum. Like, for example, anxiety, it's just a patterned way of thinking. No therapist is going to tell you that. There's no money in that. But really, it's just you're thinking over and over and over again, and then your chemistry in your heart changes, and then you start, you know, and then you get into a panic attack. But it's just really, I've been patterned, and I keep thinking of the worst case scenario. So
that's a bad habit, really.
Right, and whatever like your struggle is, if you can simplify it, first, you're going to be able to solve it. Two, you're going to be able to heal from it. And three, you're going to be a lot happier because of it.
Good. Yeah. I mean, there's almost 43 million Americans that are, you know, diagnosed with, you know, having anxiety. And it's, again, it's a moneymaker. And yes, there is some, you know, chemical, you know, unrest because things are, you know, hormonally you're out of whack and that kind of things. But ultimately it can be healed through reading God's word, through nutrition, through movement, through, like you said, simplifying. It's like walking into a room that is like chaotic with a bunch of stuff, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's just so ugh. But then when it's minimalized and it just feels fresh and clean, you can breathe again, right? Same thing with what you're saying with for this process, just kind of simplify so you can breathe again, which I would imagine deep breathing is a big, is a hack, right?
It is a hack, but I don't think I included that one. But
you didn't? Okay, well, we need to add that because that's a big hack for anxiety is deep breathing.
Deep breathing.
It regulates.
Yeah, I may have included it, but I don't remember that one. But yeah, I have so many in there. But yeah, deep breathing is a big one. I think there's a lot of tools. I think one of the tools that helped me, especially as I was in recovery, is I made a list. And I would put, when I was in my best state, mentally, emotionally, physically, what was I doing? And I would always look at that list. And sometimes I would even create a second one of what I was doing different. So I would notice, okay, I haven't been eating well. This is why I feel like garbage, or I haven't been working out like I normally do, or I am not at peace with these relationships. I haven't been spending time with God. Whatever your thing is, my house is not clean. Like, that's a big one for women. For me, it was huge. So I'd make a list, and I would always refer to that list, like, what am I doing that what am I not doing that I used to do? Like, there's just so many things like practically that you can do that would help you. But yeah, I would go back to simplify it. And if you could just do one thing, just get over, just do the next thing that you know to do. What is one thing you could do to change it? Like, I think we get so overwhelmed so quickly. And we're bombarded with so many different things. And the way of Jesus was always very simple. He doesn't say, hey, change all your life, get all together. He's like, no, come to me. Just come to me. And when we do just that one thing, like, okay, I don't know what to do. This whole thing is overwhelming. I come to Jesus with it. Like, come to Jesus with it, because he can show you so many things. He can show you the path. He can settle your heart. And I would say, if you're anxious, pray. And if it doesn't go away, keep praying. If it doesn't, like, keep praying until
keep everything. Praying.
Okay, it will leave. It will, you know, because sometimes we don't know what to do. So, you know, we don't have to.
Prayer is always the best thing, right? And I think a lot of times, sometimes people make that the last thing that they do. I'm like, no, pray first. And nine times out of 10, it will go away. But the deep breathing, the walking, there's all these things that we can do. But on your one sheet that was sent to me talking about simplicity, the quote from you says, our trauma may be complicated and layered, but healing doesn't have to be. As our world becomes increasingly complicated, we must simplify. So it's just simplify, simplify, simplify. And I mean, I would say that all across the board, like simplify even your workouts, simplify your meal plan, simplify. And I promise you'll be like, you won't feel so overwhelmed and so chaotic, because I think with all the options we have in this world, we just become overwhelmed, and then you become kind of stuck in analysis of paralysis mode, yes. and then you don't do anything, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah. if it's simple, you'll actually do it and stick to it and get it done, you know?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I wish you great success with this book. I know you're going to bless many people and help them get unstuck and untwisted, so to speak. And I'm glad that Jesus untwisted you. So make sure that you go to, do they just go to your website or go to Amazon to get Untwist Me?
Either one. It's on Amazon. I have it, obviously, paperback, hard copy, Kindle, and Audible. And they can also go to my website, elainahuggins.com. And there's a link that will lead them to Amazon. So either
yes,
one.
I will put it in the show notes too. So that's awesome. All right, Elaina, you're awesome. I appreciate you sharing. God bless you.
Thank you so much for having
All
me.
Right. Take care. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Visibly Fit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the interview that I had with Elaina Huggins. Go get your copy of Untwist Me either at on her website or on Amazon, but I will put a link in the show notes so it's easy for you to access. And yeah, we like things to be easy. So that'll be the easy button to go and get her book. I know it will bless you big time. Also, share this podcast with others that might really benefit from what she was sharing and what her book Untwist Me could provide for them, or maybe again for yourself. So again, go to the link in the show notes and you'll be all set. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for your time. I value your time because I know you could listen to a million and one, probably a million and one. I don't know how many podcasts are out there, but there are a lot. But I'm just going to say a million and one podcast, but you're choosing this one to listen to. So I just want to tell you that I'm grateful, and I'm just in a state of gratitude for your listening support and even your support with commenting in the social media, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, and also sharing these podcasts with others and giving it a rating and a review, a 5-star at that. And I appreciate that in advance. Also, if you are someone that is looking to get freed and healed from just on a holistic level, so mind, body, spirit, emotions, then check out my program called the Visibly Fit 7-Week Accelerator Program. You just go to getvisiblyfit.com and you can see all the details there. And I would love to work with you. It's a 7-week program, and I promise you will go away not only with pounds, unwanted pounds released, but a new way of thinking about your health and your healing and who you are as an individual, and start to see yourself through God's eyes instead of sometimes our own emotional trauma eyes, right? So there's a lot of exercises that we do over and beyond nutrition and exercise, you know, physical exercise. There's a lot of mindset exercises that we do and spiritual components to it. So I know you will have a beautiful result on the other end. So go to getvisiblyfit.com and I will see you there. All right. Take care, and we'll catch you next week.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.